Well, let's pray for the message today. Hope we get something from it. Lord, I ask that you bless us, and I use me today to speak to miracles and who it happens to, and a pathway and all that that means. In Jesus' name, amen. You got some scriptures in your bulletin, which we're going to be using in the context of the message. And I want to talk to you today about people who, hopeful people, who receive miracles while amazed sinners watch, and they receive it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think it is important for us to take a look at what is the context for hopeful people receiving miracles in this world. So I want you to notice I say hopeful people, not hopeless people. Now, I know this. I've been working with people for a long time, and I know that all of us have issues and things in our lives that are not quite right. And a lot of us are paralyzed in certain areas of our lives because of things that have happened to us or because it's just part of who we are as people. And we're not crippled physically, maybe, but we can be crippled emotionally or intellectually or in some way. So today I want to raise up to you the idea that miracles happen to hopeful people. Sometimes we're crippled in ways that we don't really see. It doesn't always show. So I want us to begin by reading about a guy in the book of Acts chapter 3 who was a cripple. And he was a cripple from birth. So read with me verses 1 and 2. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at that gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Now notice, we're looking at a man who is handicapped, and it's a result of birth defects. He was born that way, but this is a big but his birth defects were not binding to him. And I want you to have ears to hear this, because miracles happen to hopeful people to whom birth defects are not binding. Let me say it again. Miracles happen to hopeful people to whom birth defects are not binding. Now, without any great elaboration or embellishment, every time you or I are tempted to say things like this, well, you know, I was just born that way. It's just the way I am. Every time you say something like that with your mouth, what you do is you close the door on the possibilities of a miracle of change to take place in you. This guy right here in the book of Acts at least contended with his crippledness, his handicap, by asking people, getting people to carry him out to the gate Beautiful every day. And he wasn't saying, carry me out there because Peter and John come by here, or carry me out there because this day I'm going to receive a miracle. He just said, carry me out there every day. Please take me there. And he was carried out to that gate every day. And he was not laying at home moaning about the fact that he was handicapped, crippled, paralyzed. Or he wasn't spitting in God's face. He wasn't saying things like, I can't believe in a God that would create somebody who is crippled from their mother's womb. He was going on. He was moving ahead with his life as best as he could. And I don't think it's any small thing that the fact that he was carried to the Beautiful gate either. I think the place that he was carried to is as important as the fact that he actually got carried there. He could have been taken to about 50 different places, I expect, in the city of Jerusalem. But he says, I want you to take me to a place over there by the temple. And there's something to that, I think, as well. You know, the first point is, he wasn't saying, I was just born this way, I can't do anything about it. He was doing something about it. And the second thing is, I want you to get me to the place where God is happening. He wasn't saying, I was just born this way, Miracles happen to people who say, get me around the places where God is. And this guy had been carried there daily for literally who knows how long. Years, probably. He had no real idea how long he was a man. He was crippled from birth. He was probably about 40 years old, so he was probably being carried there for 10, 20 years. He had been sitting daily at the gate, right by the church, you might say, each day. And I'm sure he's like most of us, and I'm sure he was like most of us, that sometime in the last 6 months he might have thought to himself, you know, I'm just going to be sitting at that temple gate all my life, crippled. But each day he would at least ask his friends, well, take me there. And so he would get to the place where God was. And I think that's important. Third, he didn't let pride stop him from asking for help or acknowledging the fact that he couldn't get it done all by himself. He asked for help to get him there. Miracles happen to people who aren't ashamed to acknowledge their need, and they won't sit there and be just all full of pride, so I can handle it. And you might say, well, it doesn't take a whole lot of grace on his point. I mean, he's been that way for a long time. Well, that may be, but until you begin to run into the number of people who have obviously handicaps, and they're not always physical folks. They could be emotional, mental. They could be physical. But we have handicaps. And we run into people all the time. And we stumble around in our lives. And we try to act like it's just part of the way that we are. And we're trying to walk. And we have these things that we know that are on the inside of us. That are weaknesses in us. But we say, well, I'm okay. I don't need any help. I can handle it. And all the time, on the inside, we are literally paralyzed, neutralized, crippled in some form by our problems, our situations, our circumstances in life, our health. Could be broken relationships that are gone strangely wrong, our own loneliness. We have these things, but we don't. I can handle it. In this scripture, we see a guy that day, that day in and day out, he asked for help. And it's really not difficult to see why he received a miracle. He had had years to learn how to receive from other people. And that's got to be one of our greatest problems as well. We don't know how to receive. I encounter a lot of people. I see it in myself. That people that are ready to give, but very few who are willing to let somebody help you to receive. We don't know how to receive. Read with me Luke chapter 18, verses 40 and 41. This is about blind Bartimaeus, another guy who was crippled, obviously. Let's read it together. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, let me receive my sight. Now, you know, Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? When God asks you a question, he's not looking for information. He's wanting to see what Bartimaeus is thinking. And Bartimaeus says, Lord, let me receive. Now, he says, my sight, but some ways that's kind of incidental in this, because the miracle was, it happened because the Lord, that I might receive. When we learn to receive, then we're ready for a miracle. This guy at the Gate Beautiful had had plenty of practice with this. We understand that. Miracles happen to hopeful people first who don't let the things of their life, the things that are in them, bind them up. Birth defects, you might say, but those birth defects don't always show. They don't let them stop them. And the second thing is, miracles happen to people who will get into the presence of God. Go where God is happening. And third, They're not so full of pride that they can't get a little help. Read with me verses 3 to 5. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. Peter directed his gaze at him with John and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention upon them, expecting to receive something from them. Now, the fourth thing is that he was expecting to receive something. You know, one of the problems, we don't expect anything. You know, I have a dog, his name is Elijah, and that dog will sit there expectant when I'm eating. Whether I give him anything or not, he is always expectant. And he doesn't get disappointed if he doesn't get anything. He'll go away till the next time. And he'll come right back at it. And I think that you can learn a great deal from that. My dog is expecting to receive. You know, the first in this series was called Expect a Miracle. Well, one of the problems we have was we don't expect anything. This guy was not expecting a miracle from Peter and John. He was expecting money. But you know, honestly, sometimes I think that if the Lord could get us to expect anything, then at least we would be halfway there. At least this guy was expecting something. Our problem today, for most of us, is we don't expect anything. Well, Lord, I hope so. How many times we hedge our own words? Things like, well, let's pray for so-and-so. And when we get done, if we are around somebody, we know we don't talk like anything will come of it. We begin to talk like, well, you know, what are we going to do when it doesn't happen? Right? What are we going to do? Nothing happens. That's the way we think. It's the way we act, the way we talk. When we get on a faith theme in terms of our lives, we always have to spend a little time talking about the other side of the coin, which is kind of like spiritual poor mouthing, you might say, and this is the way we are. Lord, we trust that you will help in this particular situation, this problem, this crisis, whatever it is that we're praying about, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And then we begin to trust God and friends, but, and it's a pretty big but. Well, if it doesn't work, what are we going to do? Then we think, well, we better not talk like that because then we might act like we don't have any faith. Or there's another group of people that are at the other end, and we trust the Lord, we're going to go to do this, but I have these horrible doubts on the inside of me about this, and I don't know what to do. And I've learned to say the right things, but we have to take a step on faith. It's not that we don't know what we rely on. It's what you know about the Lord that you rely on. But you know. And then we try to arm wrestle God. Have you ever tried to do that with your faith? Say, God, you have got to deliver because I know that you have said and you will provide for our need. You got to hear us, Lord. I mean, you know, I'm saying all the right things. I got a book on my shelf that tells me how to do this stuff. I saw it on TV. This guy got up there and he told me how to do it. And here I am, I'm doing it. And you almost got God wrestled to the ground by then. He's got to come through. Now, I don't know if this rings a bell with any of you or not, but I heard about a guy one time that he said, "The Lord is my healer, the Lord is my healer." And he was sick, and on the 349th time he said it, he was healed. And the guy tells the story, and everybody said, "Wow, isn't that great?" But he leaves you with the impression that the reason that you have to, the way you get healed is because you say, "The Lord is my healer," and you got to wait till you hit the right number. Kind of like the lottery, and then God has to deliver on the goods. Well, what I think I can learn from that is for that particular guy, 349th time was the one for him, and I'm glad it happened for him, but I don't think that's how it works. What the Lord really wants us to do is just to receive. It's what he said, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? That I might receive. And it's with expectancy that he expects us to come to him. But if we think that by parroting what somebody else does is going to get God to perform, we're sadly mistaken. Be ready to receive. Let expectancy come to your heart because, well, like David wrote, read with me Psalm 37:25. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. The Lord will come through, I think. Well, I sure hope so. Well, probably so. And that's the way we are, aren't we? Miracles happen to people, hopeful people, to whom birth defects don't stop them. They're not binding them up, paralyzing them. They're people who are not, who know how to get into the presence of God, find out where God is happening, and they go to get there. Get me to the temple. They're also not full of pride, where they say, well, I can handle it. And they're hopeful because they are expectant. Like my dog. He's expectant. Whether he receives or doesn't receive is not the question for him. He's always there, focused. And the fifth thing is, miracles happen to hopeful people who accept the hand that reaches out to them in Jesus' name. Read with me Acts chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Peter and John reached out in the name of Jesus, and this crippled man accepted the hand that was given to him. He is a person who is ready to praise God, to whom self-reserve and pride is less important than the idea of letting God be praised. Look at this guy. Read with me Acts 3:8. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple with them. Walking and leaping and praising God. He went into the temple walking and leaping and praising God. Now, this might slap your hand a little bit, but there are some of us who have experienced miracles in our lives. But I'm somewhat of the conviction that the only thing that blocks us really in terms of the miracle power of God and that flow within us as a congregation is we just need to respond wholeheartedly to the ones that we've already received. I want you to think about us as a congregation. Let me push you a little bit on this. I'm not sure we give God enough praise for the gift of our own salvation. The many others that are sitting around us who have come to know Jesus as Savior and begun that process of making Him Lord of their lives in this congregation through the ministry that God has given us as a congregation. I'm not sure that we really understand what we're living in. I don't think that some of us think about some of the holes that we have either dug ourselves or we've fallen into where God has reached out and pulled us out of those things. I don't think we think about this enough. Do you know how many repentant sinners it takes to make angels sing? Just one. We live in a continual flow of blessing, and sometimes we just forget to praise God because it becomes just old hat, and we don't give him the honor and glory for the things that he is doing among us. You know, there are a group of women over there right now who are experiencing God. God is happening in this church right now. And I've been to some churches where that's the last thing that's going to happen. What does it take to get your praise ignition switch to work? The Bears to win tomorrow night? We live in a flow of continual blessing in this church. When was the last time you gave praise for that? For the working of God here among us. It only takes one person to turn the angels on to make them sing. We ought to pay attention to what we're living in right here. Miracles happen to hopeful people who are ready to praise God. And it says he went into the temple walking and leaping and praising God. We can be so careful. Worship can become so ritualistic and so dutiful that you forget why you're really there. One of the things that I cannot stand is ritualistic worship, where you get kind of programmed into everything. We need to be able to openly respond to what God is working among us. That's what this guy did in this. He just responded. I tell you what, if I'd been crippled from birth, and after 40 years, somebody takes me and heals me, I'd be running around yelling at the rooftops, I think. But this is what that guy did. He just responded. What else could he do? What else would he want to do if the Lord healed me that way? It was the most logical thing for him to do. To walk, to leap, to praise God openly. Read with me Acts chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. The miracle happened in front of amazed sinners. The crowd gathered, they listened, then they acknowledged God's power was at work, and they believed. Miracles happen to hopeful people. Even today, one, people who have been born with things wrong with them, but they don't let those things bind them up and hold them tight. They know that God can change them. God can heal them. God can heal you and me. They also know to get into the presence of God. Get to where God is happening. And third, don't let stupid pride stop you. Boy, I tell you what, pride is a terrible thing because it can keep you from asking for help and acknowledging that you're not going to make it all by yourself. And come with expectancy. Just think about my dog. He doesn't get it every time, but he's expectant. And he's focused, and it doesn't matter. If I don't get it this time, I'm coming back. And last, accept the hand that reaches out to you in Jesus' name. Miracles happen to hopeful people who do these things. Let's pray. Lord, in the midst of our lives, sometimes we do need a miracle. And help us to be hopeful and expectant. And get us into the places where that happens. In Jesus' name. Amen.